Catholic morning here on Archangel Radio. I'm Todd Sylvester here with Ellen Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Mike the Great at the command center, producing like a boss over there.
What do I do?
Ripster is doing his thing on the line. Patrick Novakovsky, who we've had on before, he is the managing partner at Nova Media, but a very well-known speaker and author. And we're looking at his latest book, 100 Ways John Paul II Changed the World. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning. Great to be with you guys again.
Before we dive into the book, you were commenting off air that you are friends with Jeff Young, the guest that we just had on.
Yeah.
I was so thrilled to hear Jeff's voice. When I was the editor of Legatus magazine, I started this column called The Catholic Foodie. It was called Faith in Food or something like that. And Jeff was one of the first authors. It was Jeff, Father Leo Padalinghug, and another person who also known as a Catholic chef. And we had them give us a recipe and write something about food and faith. And we rotated them. So Jeff wrote like a year for me and got to know him. I'm curious that you guys should talk to him about his other passion, running. He and I both are avid runners, distance runners. And Jeff's probably the thinnest chef you'll ever meet in your life.
Wow.
And it's because he runs hundreds of miles, almost hundreds of miles every month.
Oh, wow.
Man, I guess he does that just so that he can continue
eat
whatever
much
he wants.
Want, yeah.
He can eat, yes. And my wife is a great cook. That's why I run. Otherwise, I would be certainly the obese.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Oh, that's a good story.
All right, so your latest book, 100 Ways John Paul II Changed the World. What was the impetus for you to write this in the first place, Patrick?
Well, interestingly, I worked for the Marians of the Immaculate Conception, a Polish-Lithuanian order based in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, and this is in the late 90s, and I won a trip for two to Cancun, and so I called a travel agent because that's what people used back then, before the internet, and I said, I don't want to go to Cancun, I want to go to Rome, and my boss, who was one of the Marian brothers, said, well, since you're going to Rome, you want to stay at our house there? And, would you like to meet the Pope?
Oh, wow. just throw that in.
And it's
a
one
side
of those. Yeah, it's like one of those mic drop moments, like, okay, what's the catch? There was really no catch. I was the webmaster of Marian.org, so I was writing about John Paul II and Divine Mercy and then Blessed Faustina. And so what I did was I prepared a folder, a nice leather folder with his coat of arms on it, and I brought that with me and went to Rome. And after a couple of days in Rome, the Holy Father's secretary called and said, we've got a place for you at the Mass tomorrow. And lo and behold, October 1st, 1997, I met John Paul II for the first time.
Wow.
Wow.
That must have been intense.
It was intense. And, you know, I got to be in his little chapel across from his bedroom with 30 people in his private Mass. And then they led us to an adjoining room. And I was the only person of those 30 that actually had a gift for him. So he stood beside me for about 60 seconds while I explained what I was doing. And while I was waiting for him, I was a little nervous. I was 29 years old, and this is the Pope, after all. And but then he walked in the room, and that anxiety was just gone. It just left. It was like standing there talking to my dad. Hey, Dad, look what I did at work today. Mm-hmm. It was that easy. And so that was the first time. And then I went through Eastern Europe and I wrote a story for the Marians magazine, Marian Helper magazine, because John Paul II said to the Marians, you need to lead the re-evangelization of Eastern Europe. And my role as a writer was to go and gather those stories and help the Marians make their work better known. And it was very successful. So they sent me back in 98, 99, and 2000. And each year I got to meet John Paul II again. And then the last time I met my wife in 2001, we got married in 2002, and 20 years ago, We knelt in front of him in our wedding clothes 11 days after our wedding, and that was the last time I saw him. Mm. He blessed us, and we kind of went on our way. So he died in 2005, and you know, the whole time I'm pondering this, why did God allow me this great grace to meet this incredible saint five times? What was the purpose of that? It had to be something more than just for my faith edification. But God gave me the ability to write. So I thought, I need to write a book about this. So as I was the editor of Legatus magazine, I got to know all the Catholic publishers, and I'm batting these ideas around. And we came up with this idea of 100 ways John Paul II changed the world, just because we were leading up to May of 2020, which was his 100th birthday. And we wanted to get the book out in time for that. COVID kind of blew that plan out of the water, but the book came out, and it really is a way of capturing his 26 and a half years as Pope in a very concise but thorough way. So I really wrote it for young people who grew up after John Paul died, so that they can understand the impact this man had. And it's really bite-sized. I mean, each of the 100 ways is between 1 and 2 pages. Mm-hmm. It's a really concise biography that will give you a great understanding of what he did, what he accomplished, and what he wanted us to remember. So I always refer to myself as John Paul II's megaphone. I'm amplifying his work in the 21st century for people who either forgot, or for people who didn't experience the remarkable papacy that we had through the 70s, 80s, 90s, and into the new millennium.
I like how you've put together with in these nuggets that are broken down, that you can kind of think about, read a page or two on them with a hundred ways. You probably one in avenues that we couldn't even imagine right now if Todd and I sitting across from each other. But what are some of the top in your mind 100 ways that he changed the world?
I think that from a secular perspective, the biggest impact he had was helping to end Soviet-style communism in Eastern Europe. I grew up in Canada, and I remember as a teenager in the 80s thinking Russia's going to launch a nuke, the United States will retaliate, and that's going to fall on my head because I'm in the middle. They're going over the pole, right, because mm-hmm. that's the shortest distance. And I mean, I didn't obsess over it, but you know, anyone who grew up in that era was very confident that that's how it was going to end. But it didn't, because John Paul II, Ronald Reagan, and God had a plan that was much different. So John Paul working with Ronald Reagan to end the Soviet Union and give freedom to so much of Eastern Europe was certainly one of his biggest accomplishments. And I should write a book just about that. There have been books mm-hmm. written about that. Divine Mercy was another massive thing that he did. He grew up in the same era as Faustina. Faustina died in 1938 when he was 18 years old. He passed by her convent on his way to work as a seminarian during the war after she had died. He opened her cause for canonization when he was Archbishop of Krakow. He saw that through to completion. He canonized her, beatified her. He declared the second Sunday of Easter to be Mercy Sunday. Matter of fact, I was in St. Peter's Square when he did that, April of 2000, when he canonized her. And it was a remarkable moment. There was this huge shout from the crowd, and I didn't speak Italian, so I'm like, what did he say? And he said that this is fulfilling what Jesus asked of Faustina, that the second Sunday of Easter be declared Divine Mercy Sunday. Mm-hmm. So he did that. But the greatest thing John Paul II did was the new evangelization. Paul VI said very clearly, the church exists to evangelize. Last thing Jesus said, go out and evangelize the whole world and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's why he founded the church, to bring the good news to the world. John Paul did that by traveling 128 countries. He really physically went out to the world and told them about Jesus, and he lived it. Deep, devout prayer life, very strong prayer life. And that was really the emphasis of his papacy, was helping people to know Jesus, bringing Jesus to the world. few other things. He gave us the Catechism of the Catholic Church. He gave us, he established diplomatic relations with the United States. I have a new talk called John Paul II Loves America, and it's really how much this Pope wants America to live up to its founding principles of freedom, religious liberty, particularly religious liberty. There's just so much.
And we're speaking with
Patrick Novikovsky.
I wasn't going to be able to get the name right twice. I was going to say one of his biggest impact was in media, but I think you actually highlighted what it really was in a better way, is that he was an evangelist, and we just happen to live in the media age. And media, I think, was drawn to him. And so we talk sometimes that he was kind of the first pope that was really out there for the world to see. But I think it's really because he was such a good evangelist, and the cameras were just drawn to him, and that's why it was laid out for all the world to see.
Oh, absolutely. He grew up wanting to be an actor. As a matter of fact, when he decided to be a priest, his friends were shocked. They're like, what? You're going to a priest? But his father had just died, and his father kind of taught him how to pray and showed him how to pray and led him to a really deep spiritual life. And he brought those gifts that he learned on the stage to the world stage, really. And he had natural charisma. He was highly intelligent. He spoke about a dozen languages fluently, and then several more that he could read very well. Matter of fact, his last blessing on January 1st before he died, he spoke in, I think, 60 languages, his blessing on January 1st. So just a very eloquent, charismatic, passionate priest and pope that we surely miss.
Indeed. Patrick Novikovsky, the book is 100 Ways John Paul II Changed the World. You can get it wherever you get great Catholic books. Patrick, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks.
And folks can find me at booksbypatrick.com.
Awesome. Indeed. That's easy to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. Indeed. Thanks, Patrick.